If you will take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 11. Today, as you can tell by the banner on the stage, we are talking about Jesus being the resurrection and the life. And there's a reason why this series, I chose to start it when I did, so that this particular Sunday is not on Easter. And it's because the folks who only come to church on Easter, that's about the only sermon they've ever heard. And in this, the next sermon is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so for all those Easter lilies that bloom only once a year, I determined that it would be a more appropriate sermon to preach the evangelistic sermon that Jesus is the way, truth, and the life than the doctrinal sermon that Jesus is the resurrection. So that's why, if you're wondering, they've come in this order. If you will look with me at John chapter 11, verse 17, the Word of God says, "On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, 'If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha answered, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the first day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?' 'Yes, Lord,' she told him. 'I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world.'" Now, this particular passage of Scripture, in every passage there is a may and a must. And I want us to deal with the must first, and then there are a couple of mays we're going to see. But notice first, if you will, that Jesus' power knows no limits. Remember, the entire purpose of John using this special construction in the Greek language is to point his reader to what Jesus says about himself, that Jesus himself claims to be the bread of life, which all people everywhere need. Jesus himself claims to be the light of the world, by which all people everywhere need to see God. Jesus himself claims to be this door to the sheepfold, by which every person on the planet is protected from those wolves that would break in and steal, and for which God himself wants to give every human being on the planet life to its fullest. Jesus himself claims that he is the good shepherd. Every one of us is in need of a good shepherd, because we're all guilty of straying. Now, Jesus is saying he is the life and the resurrection. This is important, because every one of us has been to a funeral. And every one of us knows that one day we will be the corpse. And to know that Jesus is the life, Jesus is the resurrection, this is important to us. And John is presenting Jesus as that. And so what he is saying is, Jesus' power knows no limits, because none of us, not one of us, is capable of overcoming death. The great and the small die. The rich and the poor die. The wise and the foolish die. Death is the great equalizer of the human condition. All of us expect to die, theoretically. We live as though we will never die. We make plans as though we will never die. But in the back of our mind, we know that should the Lord tarry his coming, we will die. So it is important that we understand that Jesus' power is greater than death. Jesus' power is greater than what we can't overcome. And so this is where we want to begin. Jesus' power knows no limits. Now, if you read this text, you discover that Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. If you are a good Jew of this time, you would know that according to the Talmud, there were 3 days for weeping and 7 for lamenting and 30 to refrain from cutting your hair and donning pressed clothes. This was the way you grieved. But after 4 days, it was believed that on the third day, the spirit was gone and there was no hope of resurrection. If you read this text earlier, Jesus waits to go. He knows Lazarus is sick. He knows that Lazarus is going to die. And he knows that he's going to miss the funeral. He waits. He purposefully waits past 3 days. And as you read this text, you know everybody would have loved Martha. Martha took care of everybody. Martha was concerned that everybody get what they needed. And she's a little concerned that Jesus is going to have them open the grave after 3 days, because it's 4 days. She knows, now Lord, he's not going to smell good. He purposely waits to show that his power is greater than anyone can consider. So, look at this text, verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the first day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live. And though he dies, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she said to him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. As she puts all this together in her head, Martha is really expressing something that you and I have come to believe is an article of faith. And I want you to hear, this is what I want us to see is her confession of faith. But as she gives it, so we see that Jesus overcomes man's ultimate limit, which is death. But Martha's greeting is an expression of faith. Had Jesus been present, she knows her brother would not have died. Lord, if you'd have been here, you'd have healed him, and he wouldn't have died. And I think Jesus knew that too. That's why he wasn't there. Look now, if you will, at point 2, verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor. He's been there 4 days. And then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. So, I want you to think about this. The verbiage here, there's several things that's important. First, he says, let him go. It's like he's been in bondage. He's been in jail. He's been in prison. Death has literally had a hold of him, and Jesus is releasing him from it. And the way he talks about it is just like we would talk about letting somebody out of a jail cell. Let him go. But also notice the tense of the verbiage. He says, Father, I know. Look at it. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Before he even starts praying. That's past tense. He knows that the Lord's already heard him. It's a done deal. There is no doubt. Do we pray that way? I mean, he was one with his Father. Also notice, if you will, that Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. He names him. I believe that Jesus' power is such that he could have raised everybody in that graveyard. And had he not limited it to Lazarus, they'd all come out of them graves. And I believe that one of these days, God is going to allow him not to mention a name, but to simply say, come forth. And every grave is going to be opened. And every dead person is going to be released from the bondage that is death. And it will be over. His power knows no limits. Jesus can overcome man's ultimate limit, which is death. And Jesus' power is not future only, but it can also be accessed here and now. He raised him in the moment. He waited purposefully so you and I could see the full extent of his power. In John chapter 13, and this is why it's so important that you get over your foot fetishes and come to the Maundy Thursday service. If you don't want to have your feet washed, you don't have to have your feet washed. Nobody will touch you. But Jesus in John chapter 13, which is the institution of the Lord's Supper, which in which they also washed feet, the Bible says that in this, Jesus shows the full measure or the full demonstration of his love. In this miracle, he shows us the full extent of his power. At the cross, he's going to show us the full extent of his love, but here he is showing us the full extent of his power. He has the power to overcome death. You and I don't. But he does. Now, look at the rest of this passage. I have just taught you the must of this text. I want to now teach you a may. Martha. What are we going to do about Martha? So many of us have learned that Martha does wrong and Mary does right, and I think Martha's been talked bad about. Okay? I want you to understand what I think is the teaching about Martha. Look at this text, verse 27. Martha says, yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. So let's look at point number three. Our verbal confessions and life commitments do not always agree. Martha's verbal confession is right on. It is spot on. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. You are God. I know who you are. She ran out to meet him. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She knows he has the power. Her confession is great. There's nothing wrong with it. But there is some problem with Martha. We see she is a Baptist. Verse 39. Jesus comes and he says, take away the stone. And Martha can't stand it. But Lord, by this time there is a bad odor. He has been there 4 days. Her commitment is uncertain. Remind you of anybody you know? Have a great confession, but an uncertain commitment or an inconsistent commitment. So I think Martha's memory needs adjusting. What we all remember about Martha is from Luke's account, not John's. In Luke, we read verse 40 of chapter 10, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, and the him here is Jesus, and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, folks, we all have something to learn from both Martha and Mary. And it's really illustrated very well in what we just did this past weekend here in the yard sale and what we see happen to us time after time. And I've told you as a church, as pastor, we need to learn how to come and pray with the same sense of joy, the same sense of fervency, the same sense of commitment that we all come to dine. But we also need to learn to come and serve with the same sense of joy and the same sense of fervency that we come to pray. Because you have to put legs on the prayers. And Jesus is telling us something here that is better. What is better? It's to be in His presence. Well, how am I in His presence? I'm not just in His presence when I pray. I'm also in His presence when I serve. Now, how do I serve Him? Well, I serve Him in many ways. I can serve Him by serving you. Many of us served people this weekend because some folks got some stuff they needed. And they got some stuff that they could afford at the price they could afford. For some of them, it was nothing. For some of them, it was a dollar. For some of them, it was $3. But here's my point. They were served. And as we served them, according to Matthew chapter 25, we're serving Him. When you've done this to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. But also, we need to understand that we need to come and serve with the same fervency, the same gusto, the same enthusiasm, when beginning in May, I challenge you to go knock on every door in Emerson and invite the little children to come to Vacation Bible School. That's the better part. We need to be inviting the little children. And then when we get them here, what are we going to do with them? What will we do if 400 kids show up? We can't duct tape them together and put them on the wall. And if the children come here, what are we going to do with them? What is the whole point of the thing? It is to share Christ with them, to teach them what Ola Bowman taught me, that Jesus loves me, and that the people at church love me too, and that I could trust them, and that I could be myself with them, and they would love me anyway. I don't know about you, but that was a big test for me. I was afraid to let them unroll that rock because they would discover that inside it was a bad odor of a bad boy, me. Our confession has to match our commitment. Now, I don't know what you've got a rock hiding that you're afraid to let out. But what I want you to see is His power is sufficient to heal it, to call it forth, to give it life, to clean it up, to free it from the bondage, and enable it to be redeemed just like he redeemed and raised Lazarus. But you've got to choose to want the best part. And some of us have gotten too busy like Martha, and we haven't taken the best part. We're not praying. We're not serving. We're not knocking on doors. We're not telling folks about Jesus. We're not volunteering to suffer the little children. And I think Jesus chose that word on purpose. Children can be a task. I know Linda disagrees with me. But when I work with children, it's suffering. Sometimes it's suffering for them, not me. But it's suffering. And I am to suffer the little children. And at the 11 o'clock service, we're going to have them lined up here. They're going to sing, and they're going to stay with mom and dad. And some folks think that that's going to be suffering. Some mamas and daddies are just going to go, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. But we need to understand, we're all in here for a reason. And if that reason really is to take Christ to the nations, we need not forget our children. Because children are more willing to accept Christ than our adults. And our money is more effectively spent, our time is more effectively given when we are sharing Christ with children. Because more of them will come to know Him than when we are sharing Christ with adults. So we need to suffer the little children. Martha was caught up in busyness of the moment. She took too much rather than take time with Jesus. We're guilty of that. But Jesus does not hold her shortcomings or her lack of understanding against her. Notice what he says in John. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. She answered, I know he'll rise in the resurrection of the first day. But Jesus told her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Her faith is stated unequivocally. She believes that he's Messiah. She believes he's the Son of God. She believes Jesus is the one who was sent by God to come into the world. And I just think we should start remembering this section. That's why I read it three times to you. Because I think we remember Luke's presentation of her too much. It's got a wonderful thing we need to learn. But we also, I think, need to remember John's presentation of her as a woman of faith. Her confession and her commitment. Her confession was great. Her commitment was inconsistent. But I see a lot of myself in Martha. Now, as we close today and as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, I want to ask you, do you understand that He is the resurrection and the life? And I don't want to focus all of it on the resurrection. He's also the life. Some folks get saved and they act like the rest of their life they're dead. He is the resurrection and the life. Christians ought to be the happiest people. We ought to have fun when we're at church. We ought to be excited to get to be together. We don't need to suck the joy out of every moment. And sometimes when you're serving the Lord and you're doing so with a frown, that's a terrible testimony. And that says, Jesus might be the resurrection, but he sure has given me a terrible life. That's a lie. And if that is your testimony, you got it all messed up. We're going to celebrate today the Lord's Supper. Celebrate. Because he's the one who took the punishment. He's the one who took the death. He's the one that bore the weight of the iniquity upon himself so that we could have life and have it abundantly. So as you see that bread and you drink that juice, think about his sacrifice. And think about What part of you are you still trying to hide behind that stone? Why don't you today let him roll that rock away and let him call it forth and let him redeem it and heal it? Won't you bow your heart with me? Father, thank you. Thank you. Help me to allow you to be Lord of all my heart, all my life, all of my being. Help our church to be willing to allow you to be our resurrection in life. Help us to be willing to take that life to others. And help us to come and pray and to come and serve and to go and share with the same gusto, the same commitment, the same joy that we as a church come and dine. Help us, Father. Change our heart. Change our desire. Change our commitment. And help our commitment match our confession. Help us to realize where our commitment is inconsistent and confess it and allow you to redeem it. This we pray in Jesus' name.